Marie has had the same morning routine since she was 14 years old. After she showers, it's primer, foundation, concealer, mascara. Other than the addition of some anti-aging moisturizer and her choice to spend a little more product, more on product with better promises, every day it's the same regime, it's the same game, the same routine, the same ritual. Every day hoping to see some improvement from the day before. If Jake's not at home or at work, he's probably in the gym. 5 days a week, like clockwork. 5 days a week since he was 17 years old. Now in his late 30s, he looks like the kind of guy who's in the gym 5 days a week. His routine is meticulous, his diet is impeccable, his discipline is a bit nauseating, to be honest. But Jake absolutely loves every minute of it. All Jake's childhood, he was made fun of because of his weight. That was until he found the gym. The gym is the place where Jake feels like he came alive, where he took control of his life. Nobody laughs at Jake anymore. The gym did that. Now, these aren't real people. I don't know Jake or Marie personally. I've made them up, but it doesn't take a massive stretch of the imagination to imagine, to picture what they'd be like. In one sense, they're very real people. Maybe their experience of life rings true for you or people that you know. In a real sense, they are us. I think it's the most human thing ever to have a physically ideal version of yourself that you aspire to look like or long to return to. All of you seem to have put some effort into the way you look this morning, to varying degrees of success. joking, you look great. Some of you are dressed up, some of you are dressed down, some of you have shaved, some have not. Some have gone makeup-free, some are wearing makeup. You've chosen to present yourself in one way and not another for a reason. Now, why is that? This morning we're looking at the question, is there more to life than looking good and feeling great? And we're going to see three things. There is something to be received, there is something to be rejected, and there is something to be believed. Firstly, let's look at that something to be received, because the Bible tells us that looking good and feeling great is a good gift from God specifically. Right at the start of the Bible, we're told that God created the world, and with each successive stage of creating this physical world, he announced that it was good. And when he created human beings, he said it was very good. He was pleased with what he made. He made this beautiful, this world beautifully physical, bursting with variety and color on purpose. He created us with bodies that are wonderful. As I look out this morning, I see faces of different shapes and varieties, skin of all different shades, different hair colors, different heights. God did that on purpose, and he said that that was good. He created our bodies to work better on a balanced, nutritious diet than on junk food all the time. He created it to produce endorphins that make us feel good when we are more active than when we're lazy. He created us to need sleep and rest and recreation. Those things are good. God has made us that way. So we can say yes to the value of health and well-being, or to the value of attraction and feeling beautiful. You can say yes to those ad campaigns, you know, the ones, Dove, for example, that try to affirm the beauty of lots of different body shapes. We can affirm the growing pushback against our culture's obsession with filtered and photoshopped images in magazines and social media. We can reject unrealistic standards of beauty for men and women made uniquely in the image of God. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Simply speaking, you are God's masterpiece. Yeah, you. And that's not the whole story, but I think we're likely to move over that too quickly. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The fact that we live with an eye for beauty in the world and each other is no coincidence. We're made that way. God said that that was good. So that fresh haircut feeling is a gift. That new personal best in parkrun that you got yesterday, or if you managed to make it round without stopping or at all for the first time, that's a gift. That feeling of the wind through your hair on your morning cycle, that's a gift to have hair in the first place. Gift. Your face, your body, a gift from God. His creative masterpiece. We don't need to ignore our physicality. No, that's on purpose. Our desire to look good, feel good, they're not bad things in themselves. They are a gracious, kind gift from our Creator. However, they are not worth living for. And that's our second point. Something to reject. We want to reject this idea that looking good and feeling good are where we're going to find life. The reality is, looking good and feeling good cannot be what life is all about. Beauty and health and fitness are good things, but the problem comes when we expect them to do for us what they were never meant to. In their book called True Beauty, Caroline Mahaney and Nicole Whitaker tell the story of a young woman called Jasmine. I'm gonna read you Jasmine's story. This is what she says. She says, growing up, all I could focus on was my nose. I thought that my nose was the source of all my problems with boys and in life in general. I had zero experience with the opposite sex, and in any sort of romantic fashion. I was also not popular at school and had very few close friends. I honestly believed if I could get this taken care of, that my quality of life would be better. When I was 18, I chose to have a nose job. I can still vividly remember the day of my surgery, feeling scared and unsure about what the result would be. I was excited to think that a whole new attractive life future awaited me. The day the bandages came off about 2 weeks later was a day of great anxiety for me. After all, I was seeing my new face for the first time. It was almost like being reborn. To be honest, I still look the same. My nose was distinctively different, but it was still the same old me. My personality hadn't changed. I would be lying if I said my confidence didn't increase as a result of my procedure. My nose literally isn't the same shape or size that it used to be. But as for my new exciting life, even cosmetic surgery didn't give me the satisfaction that I thought it would. I paid one of the highest prices for the sake of beauty, and what did it bring me? Nothing. And not many of us would go as far as cosmetic surgery, maybe, but it said that 43% of UK adults increasingly consider non-surgical cosmetic procedures as part of their everyday normal beauty or grooming regime. And even if we wouldn't go even that far, how many of us think, just like Jasmine, if I could click my fingers and look exactly how I want to, then my life would be better. My problems would be sorted. But that's a lie. It doesn't work. Beauty, fitness are good. They're really good gifts. But they're not worth living for. Two reasons: they're not powerful enough. And they're not permanent enough. Halle Berry, you may know as a famous Hollywood Oscar-winning actress. She started off as a model and a beauty queen. And this is what she said about her experience of being an objectively beautiful person. She said, "Let me tell you something. Being thought of as a beautiful woman has spared me nothing in life. No heartache, no trouble. Love has been difficult. Beauty is essentially meaningless and is always transitory." And Halle is right. She's right. And that's not an original idea or discovery to her, because the Bible said it first. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Beauty is fleeting. It's a vapor. It's like the steam that comes off your morning coffee or the breath in front of your face on a cold winter's morning. As soon as it's there, it's gone again. You'd be a fool to count on it to stick around. Jennifer Aniston of Friends fame was voted People's Magazine's most beautiful woman in 2005, and then 11 years later in 2016. She's now 53 years old, and it's reported she spends £16,000 every single month trying to stay at her physical peak. It's not just beauty, though, is it? It's physical prowess, it's health, it's everything. It all goes. When's the last time you saw Usain Bolt dominate a race? When's the last time Maria Sharapova won a Grand Slam or Wayne Rooney called up for the England squads? Michael Phelps is the most decorated Olympian of all time, 28 medals in total. It's said that he suffered such severe depression after realizing that the 2016 Olympics would be his last, that he sat alone in his bedroom for 5 days and even contemplated suicide. None of it lasts. Why would we build our lives on it? American author and professor David Foster Wallace said this, and he's not a religious guy by any means. He said, in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. You'll never feel like you have enough. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. He's spot on, isn't he? The fact is, even if you had your ideal body, like the whole lot, the bone structure, the skin clarity, the legs, the arms, the belly, the bum, the hairline, the jawline, the waistline, all of it, it couldn't satisfy you. And it couldn't last. Because death looms over us. It's like this ominous shadow that we cannot escape. The disappointment and disease and decay that we all experience points us to the shocking truth that these bodies are not what they should be. And one day, no matter how beautiful or fit we are, all that will disappear like a vapor. Our bodies are screaming to us that this world is broken, that it's not right, that we're not right. It's just like this great alarm that we just prefer to drown out its noise. And we may not spend 16 grand trying to push back the inevitable, but maybe we spend far too much of our thought time doing the same thing. If this life is all there is, and it's all about looking good, then we've got a massive problem. Because we've got what? Max recently, probably 90 years? To spend a third of that trying to reach some unattainable ideal, and the other two-thirds trying to desperately grasp onto it as it slips through our fingers? Is that life? Is that what you want from life? We've seen so far that we're to receive beauty and fitness as good gifts. But we're also to reject the idea that they will give us life. But where do we go from there? What do we do? That leads us to our third point, something to believe. Something to believe, only Jesus gives eternal life. And we're going to go back into that story that we read in Luke chapter 7. So if you've got a turquoise Bible, that's page 1035. And we're going to see a few things, how Jesus addresses this problem that we all have. Notice in the story, in verse 14, we're told this is a young man. This is a guy cut down in his prime, a guy whom death has claimed early and devastatingly. Verse 12 tells us there are loads of people who have turned out to mourn this man. Now, they would have watched him growing up. They might have been mates with their children when they were younger. They've just been to his father's funeral a few years back. And now death has visited this town, and no one has been able to do anything to stop it. Notice how desperate the situation is. In verse 12, he's the only son of a woman who's already lost her husband. She doesn't have any family left. And in those days, that means she would have been left without anybody to raise her. Like, her fate was already sealed. Death has already robbed this man of his life. It's robbed this woman of her husband. And it must have felt like her life was over too. What can be done? The grave is already dug out. The funeral procession is underway. The young man is already dead. Nobody turns up to a funeral thinking, you know what, I have a funny feeling. This might turn out better than I thought it would. This is a completely hopeless situation. Or at least it would be a hopeless situation in the presence of anybody but Jesus. What does Jesus do? Well, he sees the woman. He has compassion and he gives life. In verse 13, in all his potential busyness as he comes to town, Jesus sees this woman and her situation. And he doesn't turn a blind eye to the pain and move on awkwardly. He doesn't fumble over his words, not knowing what to say. He recognizes the damage that death has caused this family. And it says his heart went out to her. You can imagine the tears in his eyes as he's moved by her tears. And in verse 13, he says tenderly, "Don't cry." And in front of this whole crowd, Jesus literally stops this funeral. He puts his hand on the bier, and the procession grinds to a halt. And he does what no one in their right mind, none of us would do at a funeral. He calls to this corpse, "Get up." And the young man does. And it's amazing, this mother went to this funeral to mourn her son, and she leaves with her dead son alive again. In the face of this undefeatable enemy, death, Jesus steps in and fixes the problem with just a few words. And this is just a taste of what he's come to do for all who will trust in him. Like, he sees our plight, he sees the death that plagues us, and the decay that we cannot escape. He doesn't just notice, he cares, and he's moved into action. Jesus has the power here to interrupt our deadness in a way that no beauty regime, no fitness plan, no superfoods or surgery ever could. This is the same Jesus who, chapters later in the story, would plunge into death himself on our behalf, and who rose to life 3 days later. The same Jesus promises to raise to eternal life all those who trust in him. If you know Jesus this morning, how amazing is it that we have this hope? And not just like wishful thinking, but as certain hope. How amazing is it that Jesus gives us life and will one day raise our bodies, free from decay, free from the reach of death, beautiful and unique and all that are meant to be. And only he does that. If we know that there is a resurrection to come, we can face up to the imperfection and of our bodies now. We can have a sense of joy as we age. You know, every wrinkle, every gray hair or loss of hair in this body, it may signal decay, but it tells us again, reminds us that Jesus will raise our bodies up, perfected. We can have hope even when we don't feel or look as we'd like to. We can face that reality, that the reality that this world isn't as it should be, but that Jesus is going to raise it up, perfected. If you're a Christian this morning, do you believe that? Are you trusting in that? Or have you been sucked in to thinking that real life is found on the other side of that target weight, or that hair color, or that look, or that recovery? Have you lost sight of what Jesus has promised to do? He is the only one who will raise you up to a perfect body, to a life reconciled with God. So yes, looking good and feeling good and is a great gift from God. But as Christians, we're able to hold it lightly, loosely, because we know that in this life, it is not forever. In this life, it is a vapor, but perfection is coming. As one pastor put it, we are free to give our bodies in the service of others. We can use the gift of fitness in order to be faithful, and we can use our health in order to be helpful. And we're free not to be so concerned with our looks and be more concerned with loving other people, because perfection is coming. And if you're not a Christian, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian today, let me encourage you, take seriously the story that your body is telling you. Our bodies are telling us, screaming to us, that something is broken, that we've turned away from life because we've turned away from God. There is no life in us. If you're looking for your life in fitness and in beauty, you will not find it. And let me encourage you to take seriously the story that the Bible is telling us of Jesus, the only one who can turn a funeral into a party, the only one who has power over death. And there is so much more that we could say about Christianity and the hope that Jesus brings. But I hopefully today you've seen some of it. Is there more to life than looking good and feeling great? Yes. Of course there is. There must be. We can receive beauty and fitness as a gift. We must reject its promise of life. But instead, we're held to believe, something better to believe in, to trust in Jesus instead. Only He can give us the life we long for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your good gift of creation. Thank you that you've made us in the bodies that we have, and that you've made us, you fearfully and wonderfully made us, that we are masterpieces of yours. Father, help us to be grateful for our bodies. Help us to be conscious of all the amazing things that our bodies can do, of every moment where we feel good, and everything in us that looks good. And Father, help us to celebrate those moments where we know creation to be a really good thing. And Father, we're so sorry that we ask our bodies to do for us what they're never meant to. And when we think that if only our bodies looked exactly the way we wanted to, then we'd have life. When we spend far too much time, thought time, energy chasing after an ideal or grasping onto what once was. Thank you that Jesus counters what we so desperately have no power over. Thank you that Jesus has the power to stop the death and decay that plague us all. Thank you that even though our bodies are imperfect now, even though death has power over us for the time being, that Jesus promises to raise up all who will trust in Him. Father, help us to put our hope in that. Help us to know the joy of that. I pray particularly for us if we're really conscious of the imperfection of our body. If disease, long-term illness plagues us. If unhappiness with the way we look has been our story for as long as we can remember. Father, help us to have hope in the Jesus who will one day raise us up in perfection. Father, for those who don't know you, who have heard this, what your word has said, Father, I pray that you would help all of us to stop putting hope in beauty and fitness and to put hope in Jesus instead. For we pray it in His name. Amen. Amen. To end our service, we normally respond to what we've heard. And we do that by singing again. You may have realized we love to sing. So we're going to sing two more songs, which help us respond to what we've heard, to ask God to help us look to him instead of other things. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus has power over the death. So let's stand if you can, and we'll sing.